You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Hi, I'm Holly Randall, and welcome to my podcast, Holly Randall Unfiltered. This is a show about sex, the adult industry, and the people in it. I'm a 21-year veteran of this fascinating little industry, and as the eldest child of the trailblazing erotic photographer Suze Randall, you could say I grew up in it. So forget everything you think you know about porn, because this show is going to change your mind. My guests are some of the biggest names in the industry, and we unabashedly reveal the real behind-the-scenes stories. The funny, the inspiring, the tragic, and the bizarre. Everyone has an opinion about sex work, but few people actually listen to the sex workers. So sit back and prepare yourself for a podcast which is honest, raw, and unfiltered. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Holly Randall Unfiltered. Before I introduce my guest today, I want to give a shout out to my sponsor, Manscaped. You know, it is not too late to give the gift of Manscaped this holiday season. The man in your life can join the 9 million men worldwide that trust Manscaped and try their new cutting-edge Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Get 20% off plus free shipping when you go to manscaped.com and use code Holly. Okay, so my guest today is one of Serbia's biggest porn stars of all time, who stirred out lots of hometown controversy on her rise to the top. Welcome, ex-biz Europa Performer of the Year, Cherry Kiss.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for this.
Thank you for this invitation. You're so welcome. It's funny because, like, I know you because I license content on you from David for my website.
Yeah.
I think I paid him to shoot you for me, actually, because, like, there's so many stunning girls in Europe that I don't have access to. And now here you are.
Yeah, I've heard about you since so long, and I was like, I need to get this opportunity. Like,
oh, wow.
I'm so happy.
That's amazing. I mean, I know we're here to talk about you, but if you want to talk about me for a little bit longer, that's totally fine.
I've been watching you for a while.
Thank you. Not creepy at all. Merry Christmas, or I should say Happy Holidays to everybody. If you are watching on YouTube, you'll see there is a gorgeous Christmas tree right next to me. Christmas is my favorite holiday. And Masha came in and made this beautiful tree for me. Some of you guys know her as Kate, and she's the one who puts the hammer down on the YouTube live premieres for people who are being rude. But look at this beautiful tree. So let's all thank her for this lovely Christmas spirit that I feel infused into this entire episode. So, Cherry, you know, let's start at the beginning, because you have quite a storied career path. So tell me about how you got into porn.
Well, so just when I turned 18, of course.
Porn. Were you, like, waiting to turn 18?
Well, actually, no. I didn't plan to enter this industry at all when I entered this industry. So I started as a makeup artist, and I did makeup for a producer in Belgrade. And he shot some documentary movies, so my makeup was like, go, 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 fast. And then you run away. And then he proposed me, like, do you want to do, like, professional makeup? I'm in adult industry in Budapest. It's like a triple money for you. We go morning, we go back in the night, because Belgrade, Budapest is like by car 3 hours. So it's not so far. I was like, of course, at this age, you always need money. You always want extra work. So then when we went there a couple of times ago, back and forth, and then I was like always in my makeup room, and you just hear like, and I was like, I need to go out of this makeup room. As soon as I went out to see what's going on, I was like, wow, I want to be part of this.
So felt like you were missing out sitting in there, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know. Like, I was like shy, not really shy. Never been shy, but it's like, I don't want to disturb, you know? But as soon as I saw this whole madness, craziness, everybody was laughing, so good energy, I was like, I want to try. So okay. That's how I started.
So tell us about like your very first scene.
So a very first scene, it was the lesbian scene. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I don't know, I just felt like I belonged there. As I say, I was not shy. It was just like, yeah, it was fun. I didn't feel like I don't know what I'm doing. So I was just going straight to it. So, yeah. And I didn't know yet productions, like what is big production, small productions, what like how I supposed to build my career. I didn't know shit. Mm-hmm. I just was like, I want to try everything. Mm-hmm. So basically, since very beginning, I just did everything what I could do. So it's like, and it was really, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. Yeah. And I didn't plan like, oh, I will build my career or something. It's like none of this was in my mind then. It was like just like, let's make money, let's have fun, let's travel. I was like, So yeah, that's how I started.
So you said that you, when you started, you did like every scene. Are there any scenes that you regret doing now?
No.
So all of them
especially
were okay for
you. Especially now, I don't regret anything. I appreciate like everything I've done. I appreciate big time because I come from very small place. Like, and I would not see 5% of what I saw through this business and experience as well if I did. If I was not part of this business. So I'm really happy about all this time then. When, like, in my country, we will go through this later, I guess, but when in my country, like, everyone started to write about me and judging me, then I started to regret in one period, but then I was like, no, why I should regret? I didn't do anything bad. Like, fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you all. Like, yeah, seriously. Yeah. And then even later, when I knew something about those people who the most they was judging me, like, I was like, oh, my God. God, like, really? You are judging me? Like,
well, it's usually the people yeah. that have, like, the most personal issue
yeah.
with, or, like, the most attract, you know, it's, like, always the people who are the most anti-porn are the ones who, like, secretly
yeah.
really are, like, too into it. So they take their, they're confused and they take that out on you. Yeah. Like, it's so common.
The people who will be ranting for, like, podcast like this Louis Vuitton bag which one cost $30,000, they will rent for a mission for $1,000. I'm like, dude, why you need to present yourself this way? Like, it's a bag, okay, dress, I understand, because you need every time when you go publicly some different dress, but bag, come on. And yeah. to show off, and these kind of people was judging me. I'm like, bro.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Just that.
I will say, like, one of the things that I love about the adult industry, probably like the biggest thing, and I say this to people all the time, and a lot of people doesn't resonate with a lot of people unless you're in the industry, is that there's a real authenticity to people in porn.
Yeah.
And it's the people that I love.
Yeah.
You know, and I've worked with celebrities and I've worked like in fashion and mainstream. And there's something about like porn stars and working in porn. And I think it's kind of one of those things where like you're out there, right?
Yeah.
You have like nothing to hide. You've like fully exposed yourself.
Yeah.
You're not trying to pretend to like be something
exactly.
else. You know, there's just, I don't know. There's just like, I really enjoy it.
I think so. There is less complexes, let's say, like yeah. this. Like, everyone have good and bad side, of yeah. course. And it's the thing is, like, as you say, we are just so naked that we don't have what to hide or to... And I find as well our business like a little family.
Yes.
So since I've been in another businesses, I realized, like, in this business... people are more honest than in another businesses. So this is from my experience. And it's like, I don't like to generalize, but I need to, because it's just my feeling. And it makes me fall in love with this industry much more. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. It's so easygoing.
Yeah. There is like a real sense of community. And I yeah. think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, we're the black sheep of the entertainment industry, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the underdogs has been like shunned by everybody else. So, you know, we all kind of get yeah. together and it's just creates that like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
That's true.
So going back to your early days, one of your first scenes was with a 70-year-old man, right? When you were 19.
Yeah.
So what was that like?
So, well, in Budapest, they not nowadays that much, but this time when I started, it was very popular, like old and young.
Yeah.
So, like, example, Mario Salieri, he's still shooting this kind of movies. And it's totally normal because performers, they look different. So for me, if I shoot with this Christmas tree or with water,
leave my Christmas tree out of this.
I see you. I can make you believe. Look, I will look now this sexy, or I will look with a love, or I will look like I don't give a shit about. It's like I can shoot with anything or anyone, or like this is what performer it is. Like I don't.
By the way, that was a great plug for you. Just wanted to put that out there.
So it's like whatever. I didn't mind. And later on, when I understood I want to build career from this, so I choose what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And it's not because what was bothering me what I did before. It's just, of course, I want to show myself in bigger companies, so to make my name bigger. And it was not anymore like old and young. It was not popular, so that's why I stopped. Mm-hmm. But if it was something like now popular, I will do that. So they are performers like everybody else.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not? And for example, Mario Salieri is big in Europe. And
is he a director or a performer?
Director.
Okay.
So, and he shoot like a big movies, and like he's Italian, like he's very slow. But he's great. When you see his movies, you're like, wow. So, and yeah, it was amazing thing to do. My first scenes is lesbian scenes. And then after was old young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's, you showed up to set, knew what you were doing, met the guy, and you'd like no problems.
Exactly. I'm even today like this. I never changed about it. Yeah. We go like, boom, go.
Because so many people see that and they, you know, of course, like, oh my God, the age gap and the poor girl, and she must be so disgusted. Can I make an admission though? I kind of think those scenes are sort of hot.
Yay!
Sorry.
Boom, boom. Yay.
I actually always liked older men. And now that I'm older,
older
men are like really old.
Yeah, me too. Like I like older men. It was like kind of hot for me. Mm-hmm. And then now I'm looking for younger.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, okay.
But it's like, it's funny because, you know, it's always that reverse, right? The age gap. So it's like, the young girl and then the older guy, and then like once you're an older woman, then you're a MILF, and then you're only cast with like younger guys. But I'm like, I am never attracted to young guys. Never.
They don't know shit, of course. Like what you will do with them.
Yeah. Look, I'm not attracted to anybody else besides my husband. I just want to put that out there. But if I was, it would be someone my age or older, but not younger.
Just, it's good you just say that for the husband.
He doesn't watch the show, but just
in case.
Just saying.
Yeah.
So you were cast in a reality show after the news broke that you were doing porn. What was that show like?
So I need to start from my country judging me.
Okay.
I will never forget one situation. So now you will understand. This is just one thing I survived. So when all this thing, but I didn't, was like, I could not even think that will that much explode everywhere. It was all over the news. My friends was calling me, are you okay? And it was like, wow, presented like I'm raped or something. It was like, there was just writing crap.
So, okay, help me understand this, though. So you're from Serbia.
Yeah.
But you can't be possibly the first girl from Serbia who did porn. Like, why was the reaction over you so big?
Well, there was girls long time ago who will do one scene and disappear or something amateur. Me, I was doing it professionally. So that's why they put me as the first girl ever because I am. Mm-hmm. Actually, so there is a one girl, she's my friend Alicia Reese, but she's Canadian Serbian.
Oh, so. Yeah, I've shot her.
Yeah, she told me about you too. Yeah, I love her, she's so cool. And in Budapest, we spent a lot of time together the mm-hmm. last summer. And so she's living in Canada, and I'm Serbian, who is doing this professionally, and there is none. There is no other girls.
Why do you think that is?
Because people, okay, so to start from somewhere, people are very judgmental because they don't know. I think like everyone who is judging something is people who don't have enough education and they just don't know. Because before I was angry what they did to me. Now I'm even sorry for those people who are judging because they was not traveling, they don't have experience, and they simply they don't know. That's why they talk like this, you know. If they knew, unless they are really bad people, if they knew, probably most of them they will change their opinion about our business, us, how we are like normally and everything, you know. So one situation I will never forget, I had a long hair like this. After all this exploded, I come back to my country to fix situation, and I could not understand it. It was terrible. So I went to buy bread in bakery, and the woman recognized me and she say, "You're a whore, get the fuck out, I'm not going to sell your bread." I was like, wow. So I cut my hair until here. I had a fake glasses, and a hat, so I could operate through my home city. I needed to look different than I am.
You had to disguise yourself so you could go buy bread at the bakery because you did porn.
Exactly. And this was for like nearly 6 years. And then this made me angry because I want to like kill myself. I understood my family, shock for them, but for another people, like really. So then one, I'm lucky that I had some people behind like who helped me, who was there for me. So one, my friend, his wife, she was in a Playboy. And they are older than me, so she had same issues a long time ago. This guy helped me a lot and gave me advice. He said, "No, you don't go to depression, you face it. If you leave people to step on you, they will feel soft, people will go more." Mm-hmm. As you say, the most of them insecure people who do that. When they feel hard, they will step up, they will respect you. And this stayed in my head. 18 years old, you're a child, you don't know shit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah. He say, like, you have so many, I had so many invitations for TV. Go to reality show because it's one way to that they see how you are. Like, go. So I remember, like, oh my God, entering reality show. I was like this, but pretending. I'm like, I don't care, you know. But inside.
What was it called?
It's a part of it, couples.
Okay.
But it's in my case, it was not a couple thing because I was not fighting like for a main the money. Mm-hmm. So I was not there for 3 months. I was there. I supposed to be there 1 week, but they asked me to stay a little bit longer. So all together around 10 days. And what happened? Like I entered reality show live. Everyone is watching and everyone start to judge me immediately. Like, and there is like big singers. This time it was like really famous people in the reality show. And I was like, but you did this. And I read everything about all of them. But you did this, you did this, you did this, you did this. And why you are judging me? You did everything. Like, like what the fuck? And I was like, oh, because camera was everywhere, and they start to be very nice with me. I was like, okay. Then after when we had the games or something, I was smart, let's say like this. Mm-hmm. Like they saw that I'm a person who is not fighting. I was nearly only one who is not fighting and fucking around. Mm-hmm. So I changed all this step by step. But 6 years took me to fix with my family and everyone. And my family still today, they don't understand this business, but mm-hmm. they just want me to be happy. So I have an amazing relationship with them and I love my family. They're really nice people. And now it's fine. Now it's fine.
Yeah.
But 6 years.
Yeah.
6 years.
Wow. I mean, it's interesting what you said earlier about, you know, people who are, you know, tend to not have a lot of experience judging you and looking at you that way. Because I find that, you know, people look at everything through the lens of their own experience, right?
Yeah,
and it's like,
wrong.
So if it's very narrow and you only know one way to live and you've only met one kind of person and you've only like been in one kind of place, I can see how it's difficult to understand like other people. And what I've come to realize is that it's not even necessarily for me, like, there's things that people are into that I don't understand, but I've come to a place in my life where I don't judge them for it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not you. Like, of course I don't understand why you like this, or, you know, I don't understand people who like celery. Okay. Celery is fucking disgusting. Okay. All you people who eat celery are weird, but I'm not going to judge you for it because it's delicious to you. But you know what I mean?
Celery.
You know what I mean? Fuck celery. But you know what I mean? And so it's kind of about understanding that people are different, and that we all, like, we are an accumulation of not only like our life experience, but like, you know, biological traits and that kind of thing. And so I think that as you go through the world, and the more you travel, and the more different kinds of people that you meet, I feel like personally this podcast has really opened my eyes to different ways of living, different ways of thinking. And I think it's made me a better person and more compassionate, because I literally sit down with people for an hour and they tell me like their stories and their perspectives, and like, it has changed me as a person.
What I like about this podcast, it is education. So this is what I want to start with my YouTube channel, and or wherever like I am, I try to educate people. So this direction I want to take, like, sex is a very big thing, like, people need to be educated about our business. People need to be educated. They need to understand, they need to know, they need to see example of it. They need to see more of backstage, like, since I produce, I've been recording backstage all the time, and placing it on a website, making deals with company to use this backstage, because for all those fans, just to see around like what we do, and it is fun, but it's so professional. It's a job. You know what you do, when everything, there is the rules, and people just need to know this too. We need to educate them. Like, I wish there is more podcasts like yours. So they're supposed to know.
Yeah.
You know, they will maybe, and not maybe, but we can, through some time, we can change. Like, I did it in Serbia. Like, I've been all the time speaking about my job and everything. And you know what? I'm so proud. A lot of things changed. So now it's not like before. And I know that I'm one of the one big reason for this as well. But I didn't want to give up. I was like, people need to know.
Yeah. Well, I think too, you know, so many people, look, I mean, we're all biologically kind of created to procreate, right? So like, everybody, most people have a predisposition towards sex and interest in sexuality, but there's so much shame around it too. And so I think that the more that we can educate people about what working in the porn industry is actually like, and the steps that we take to make it a safer, better place, and it's not perfect, like, bad things happen, but like, we address those issues and we try to solve them, then I think also too, that helps take the shame out of the viewers watching porn. Because I've had a lot of people tell me that they, like, this podcast has helped them enjoy porn now.
Yeah.
Because before they thought like, oh, all of these girls must be victims. They must hate what they're doing. It must ruin their life. You know what I mean? Because that's what they've been told. So they watch porn because, like, they're, you know, they want to have that entertainment, but then they feel bad about it. So being able to, you know, talk to these people in person and hear their stories and be like, oh, these are actually like thriving members of society, and they've like bought investment homes with this money, and they provided for their family, and they're like, you know, happy, regular people. I feel like it's helped people just enjoy porn. And that's what we're here to do, man. We're here to help you enjoy porn. Don't feel guilty when you jack off people. It's all healthy.
Here for.
We're here for that. We're here for you.
It's our job.
Masturbators, we are here for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing this for you guys. So,
We all know Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop for everything sexy. And now, with my code Holly, you can get any one item for 50% off, plus 10 free gifts. And you'll even get free shipping. So spice up your sex life at adamandeve.com, but only if you use code Holly.
I like family people says a lot about you, because, like, when, for example, boyfriends, I see them, I scan how they are with their family, means how they will treat me. So
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was like that with my husband. We're back, by the way, from the from the commercial break, but I kind of have a sort of funny story to tell that has nothing to do with any of this, but I kind of want to tell it just because, but it relates to the family thing. So when I first met my husband, I remember being like, you know, it was really important to me that he was a family man. And then he wouldn't like introduce me to his family for like the longest time. And it was like, why?
That's
and
then, respect.
Well, and no. And then finally he was like, my mom's not going to like you. She doesn't like any of my girlfriends. And I go, you fucking watch. Your mother's going to love me. Have you met my mother? She's a crazy old lady. I'm so good with crazy old ladies. His mother loves me. I fucking won. Don't ever challenge me with the mother game because I will win them over every time. So yeah. I have a funny story. Ernie, it's sort of for you. So, well, because you spent so much time with them. So my father died in January, who I was very, very close to. Thank you. And we just re-released my mom's memoir that from 1977 that he wrote. And I was working on it with him when he passed away. And he actually like told me that if he dies, like, could I please see it through? Which I did. So I fulfilled my promise, Dad. But anyways, so that happened this weekend. We launched a Kickstarter campaign. It's done, we met our funding goal in a day and a half. And so my daughter will often say like kind of strange things about my father. So she calls him Opa because he's South African. And she'll say like weird stuff like, Opa's here sometimes. Like she'll say she's three, right?
Whoa. Yeah, she can feel him then. I have goosebumps.
Yeah. So so this is crazy. So so yesterday I was taking her to the Camarillo Camarillo outlets to go shopping. And nice. I stopped in my little production house on our ranch and I was unloading some stuff out of the back of my car. And Ernie, you obviously know that spot well. Ernie recorded the audiobook for my mom, and he spent many hours down there with my mom and my dad. And as I'm like unloading stuff, my daughter's sitting in the car, and I hear her yelling. So I come over and I'm like, "Hey, Violet, what's going on?" And she goes, "I was just talking to Opa." And I was like, "Oh, were you?" And she's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Well, where is he?" And she's like, "Oh, he's down there." And she points down to the meadow. So our production office, we're on like a big ranch and it's kind of like on a little bit of a cliff and then there's like a meadow underneath it. And she's like, "Oh, he was down there." And I go, "Oh, okay." And I'm sort of like not really, you know, like it kind of touches me because I want to believe it, but I'm also like, she's a kid, like what is she saying?
At this age, until this age, they can feel it.
Yeah. So, but this Third is the crazy eye. Thing. So she goes, and I go, "Oh, what did Opa say to you?" And she goes, "Oh, no, he didn't say anything. He was just peeing in the grass." Now, that sounds funny, and it is. But if you knew my dad, he was, like, famous for peeing outside. That's, like, all he did. And, like, it's, like, a running joke in the family because, like, there would be a bathroom, but and he would go outside and pee outside. It was, like, his thing. Yeah. Did he ever pee outside with you, Ernie? You never saw him pee outside?
My grandpa was doing that. And my grandma and my mom, they was going crazy. They're like, "There is bathroom. Why are you doing this?" No. Behind the house, he goes outside.
He just wants to go pee. I don't know. It's just like
I like to pee outside. I understand this.
It's a little more work for us.
Yeah.
But so when she said that, because like she doesn't know that he pees outside. Yeah. Like I don't think he's done it in front.
I believe that she see him and feel him. Yeah.
When she said that like... Yeah. And also, too, so if you knew my dad is, like, a staunch atheist. He doesn't believe in ghosts. He thinks all that shit's bullshit, right?
I've been like this until I saw things, yeah.
So, but the funny thing is that, like, if my dad was to come back as a ghost, like, with his sense of humor, he would 100% do that.
Yeah.
He would come back as a ghost just to, like, pee outside. Like, that's what he would do. That would be, like, you know, his joke. Like,
why is wet here? What the fuck is going on? And he's like,
it would just be so,
you guys
like,
step on it.
Yeah, so him. So his sense of humor. So, I don't know, that, like, really threw me. And I don't know, I feel kind of like...
You're supposed to believe in these kind of things because I was like this. Like, I'm from very religious family. Mm-hmm. So you can now understand also this porn thing. My grandma father and my grandma brother, they was priests, both of them.
Oh wow.
Yeah, my grandma from father. So it's like they was very religious always, and I was like, no, there is, and I always find some mistake somewhere or some, no mistake, like something what is like, because I read the Quran, I read the Bible, so some things make sense, some things not. And I know that there is hope and religion is good family-wise, and my opinion was it's all for family. But there is like certain things, and I was always like, oh, this, I don't believe in that, I don't believe in that. Then comes to the energy, ghosties, and whoa, some things threw me off. 23 was my number all my life in school, university, everywhere. And always something happened on 23, like big, like bad or good. So I turned 23 and I start seeing things, like feeling things, and like, oh my God. Then after I talked to my grandma, and she actually was healing people with her bioenergy. So it's like, it's all big story, it doesn't matter. But then I was like, okay, there is something. So the point is just that we don't get lost in things we cannot understand, but there is, we are energy, everything is energy, things are going on around us, we cannot even imagine. So now my opinion is totally different, I believe. And I believe that kids, especially because they are pure, they have pure energy, and they have like this, what we call third eye, like they can feel and see much more than we can imagine. So
because they haven't had, like, they haven't been beaten down by society and being like, this is not true. Because we build up these walls in our brain, right?
Exactly.
To, like, direct us along the path that, like,
yeah,
society wants us to take. And we're like, this isn't true. And so so you go down this path. But it's, it's hard to break down those things. But, yeah, I feel like he's around. I had a dream about him, like, a month ago that literally, like, I don't know how to explain it, but I felt like he was there. Like I woke up crying. I hear
that if you see him or dream about him, or that you still didn't let it go, and once you let it go, he will be more peaceful, and rarely this kind of things is going to happen. I don't know if it's true, or but this is what I hear.
I mean, I feel like I've let him go. Like, I grieved pretty hard, and I've made peace with it. But, you know, you're, like, always sad, you know, when you lose someone close to you.
It's normal. Yeah. It's normal. I'm sorry about it. But this is crazy thing about life. And that's why I'm, like, for me, time is relative. And I say that means, like, make your life longer. How? Every day do something different, interesting, or a little bit different than what you did yesterday. Because when you do every day, you do the same thing, your life is like, whoop. If you every day experience different things, you have a lots of experiences to die with, and life is just like, poof, it's gone. So we will all end up the same. So just like try to do something crazy every day, or little crazy or something.
how do you institute that into your life? Like, what are maybe, what's an example of maybe like a little thing that you would do to do things like, differently?
Well, depends, of course, of the,
porn. Getting to porn, that'll be different.
Every day it's a different day in porn. That's for sure. But it's like even at home, like I will choose to cook something one day what I never tried to cook, or I will just read something new, or I will just go to the new place or new shopping center. Now it's your fault.
Camarillo Spring Outlets.
You know how much money I spent?
Money you didn't spend, because the bargains you will get.
That's true. I don't know to stop. When it's shopping, I'm avoiding it because I still search my middle. I'm black or white with this. Like, I don't go, or if I go, it's like, oh my God, like, terrible, really terrible. Anyway, every day I try to do something new, or at least to learn something new.
Yeah.
So just experience, like, or I will go to nature on some place where I be not, so I will just stay around. Then new person come, you talk with this person, sometimes you change the numbers. Like, I always say, like, for example, for these people who are sitting at home and they wish to their life to change, or they are depressed, first of all, the depression is wasting a time, we all have it, but can last 1 day, 2 days, or 1 year, or 10 years, depending on you. So if you go to the shopping, or shopping is in my head, if you go to the shop, like 20 times or if you go one is big difference. Why? Because 20 times, if you go 20 times, it's 20 times more chances that something is going to happen to you, right? So you need to move your ass. You need to go, 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 do, do, go. And then your life is, voila. Interesting.
So you're saying, like, rather than staying home and ordering everything on Amazon,
never
just, like, get out there.
Amazon,
I say that too, but man, do I?
I love it.
Do I use it all the fucking time?
I'm so addicted in Europe, like especially Budapest. Your packet don't arrive, or they don't call you, or it's not possible even to order anything. It's totally different system, because especially Hungarian system is like, why simple when can be complicated? It's like, it's always like this. And here, oh my God, I was like, I jerk off on Amazon. Like, imagine me from Hungary, I come here and I'm like, this is so easy, I even have the room for it, like, what?
I know.
Oh, it's, my God.
I know.
Yeah, I'm every day on Amazon now.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad, but you can still do the Amazon and go somewhere.
Yes.
I'm doing on a
way to the store and do Amazon. So you mentioned about doing something different. So we're almost at the end of the year, right? It's almost 2024. Fuck. What is, like, the biggest thing that you think you did differently this year?
Differently?
Yeah.
Moving here.
What a great segue into, so when did you come to LA?
Well, I arrived here January, and took me a long time to just, like, get used to live here, because I'm very attached to my family and friends. It's terrible. Like, and I'm alone here. But then after now, my friends are coming to visit me. Everything is different. I meet new people. I'm training boxing. So I do skydiving and I'm happy.
That's crazy. I did boxing for years. I loved it.
Yeah.
Skydiving, no fucking way, man.
Why?
Skydiving and celery are just a big deal for me.
Okay, salary when I can understand. Skydiving is more safe than driving car. You have the parachute, which one is like you can faint.
Don't give a shit. No.
I cannot convince you. Okay.
No desire to go skydiving. I'm an adventurous person. Like, I'll do a lot of things. Yeah. Skydiving is absolutely not.
I'm adrenaline junkie. I need something like crazy like this. I need to be like,
like, I'll go shark cage diving with great whites. Like, totally down for that.
Yeah.
But there's something about, like, and I'm not even, like, terrified of heights. Like, I don't have problems in planes. I can go to the top of build. I mean, you know, I've shot girls where I've, like, fucking looked over, like, a pretty high, you know, like, to get that photo.
I love that.
But skydiving?
I love it.
No, thank you.
I really love it.
So what was the biggest, like, culture shock when you came to LA?
Culture shock?
Yeah. Besides Amazon.
So everything here is opposite in Europe. Hmm. Like, everything. Like, I don't know how many examples. Even, like, when you want to open door, it's in Europe is different side than here. Like, I love big parking places. In Europe is like you need to squeeze somewhere, and somewhere is like,
I don't know how people drive in Europe. Like, I'm literally, when I'm in Europe and I'm in a car, I'm like this the whole time, because
that's good while you drive.
No, I'm not driving. No fucking way am I driving. I will not drive. But, like, when I'm in a taxi or someone else is driving, I'm like, I'm paused. I'm like, you're going to hit that guy.
It's like very small distance. And you don't have place to park.
No.
It's just none.
No. I remember we were in Italy.
God.
Actually, I think it was the south of France, right on the border. And, yeah, like, at night, people just parked in, like, the median and, like, in between the lanes.
Exactly. Like, you don't have place.
Just park there. It's like,
I love about America, I love this big attitude, or everything is big. Like, I was shocked about food, though. It's like, I'm like, this is for 10 people, or what I'm getting? Like, whoa. Yeah, but like everywhere, you have something positive and negative. That's how I'm looking for this. Like, I don't like here that you cannot use your legs, basically. Everywhere is car, car, car.
Yeah. That's also LA specifically.
Yeah,
like,
I never visit. I just visit Vegas. So what I'm now talking about is just LA, basically, because I am still very new here, let's say like this. So, and I live in Northridge. What I hear, like, for example, if I am in Santa Monica or somewhere, I could use my legs eventually. Mm-hmm. But in Northridge, like, I don't go to pee without a car. So it's like,
well, you know that, like, Henry Ford helped design the layout of Los Angeles so that people would need cars.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like planned that way.
Planned that way, yeah. It's like I would love to more walk, but the good part here, you have everything. So I have my three gyms actually in the building. So it's this part what I'm missing. I can go to a gym and I can, you know, fill it up. What I love here is beautiful nature. Like in Europe, we have beautiful nature as well, but it's smaller kind of feeling because it's small countries. Mm-hmm. And here is like when I drive, I'm like,
Our national parks are in California are like insane.
I love. I need to visit. Like I didn't visit so many things, but I need to. I was reading about. I need to visit definitely. And everything is just opposite. Everything is different. The way you function, do things, it's just everything is so different in Europe. Even in our business, when in Europe, like we rent location and we are like, and we shoot, we are relaxed. Here is on the hour and go. I'm fitting about this here because I'm like, go, always, even on my own production, everyone is annoyed by me. I'm like, okay, go, you do this, come on.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't like wasting a time, so this is...
I bet the models appreciate that, though. I'm the same way. Like, I cannot relax on set. Like, I don't sit down.
Yeah.
When I'm eating, I'm walking around, like, being like, there's, like, no... Because, like, I also, like, I want to go home. Yeah. I know everybody else wants to go home. You said it's by the hour, so I don't want to spend more than I have to.
Yeah. Like this normally, like, hyperactive?
Yeah.
Yeah, same. Yeah. So what is your astrology?
I'm a Virgo.
Virgo, yeah. They are also working people. Yeah, I'm really Capricorn. Okay. Same for me. I don't stop. I'm the same at home too. I cannot sit. Like, for example, my friends is like, okay, let's watch movie. And I will wash dishes, clean apartment while watching a movie, you know?
Yeah, it's tricky. That work-life balance is hard, and it's become especially challenging since I had a kid, because now it's like I have to slow down and like spend time with her. You know what I mean? Like, that's tricky. So how do you manage that work-life balance? Like, are you trying to do that, or are you just at the state where you're just like, I'm just, fuck it, right now is the time to work. I'm just going to work and I'll rest later.
I don't think about resting at all, to be honest, because I always even had a problem with sleeping. I don't sleep much, so it's my problem since I was a child. That's why I need a hobby. It's not like I just want to have. I need to spend my energy. I'm really fitting in this business. So, like, I don't know how I will live without this business. I go shoot a scene, then work on computer, then go boxing, then again work on computer, and I need to do so many other things so I can actually spend my energy. I don't think my priority right now, it's not family, so I don't think about resting or something. Even when I bring my own family on vacations, I just went 2 times with a friends and ex-boyfriend, but always I bring my family because I want to educate them, my younger sisters and my parents, to see the world. So I've been every year, bring them in different country. So it's like, even then, like, I'm on vacation already third day, I'm like, I need to do something. I cannot just, I go crazy.
Yeah.
I need to work. I don't know. It's like, I'm working since I'm 14, like my early 40s. I start to work my ass off. So same. I don't know different way.
Yeah,
I just don't know.
But, you know, I mean, there's something to be said for that. But there's also something to be said for, you know, people who sometimes, I mean, I could not live this life, but sometimes I'm jealous of, like, people who have a 9-to-5 and then they go home and they don't take work home with them.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, on the weekends they don't think about work. But I also, like, can't imagine living in that world. Like, my husband has a 9-to-5. I mean, he works from home, but You know, he's, and that's it. And he has a salary. And I'm like, and yours is the same. Like, your income is predicated on how much work you do.
Yeah.
So and that's why there's a lot of uncertainty well. There. But I also really enjoy that.
Yeah.
Because I love the idea of I could make more money this month than I
have
before.
And that you have control.
Yes.
Right?
Because if it was always the same, I think like I wouldn't yeah. be as motivated. I don't know.
I it's like now when I especially know you better, I don't think so. Both of us are like people who can be in the office mm-hmm. same amount of time.
Yeah.
And do the same thing. Like yeah. it's we will go crazy.
Yeah. yeah. But I mean that works great for some people. You
yeah.
know? And their priority is other things in life. And
yeah.
That's definitely not to be looked down upon at all. Like
not at all. This is the thing what we was talking about. People are different.
Yeah.
And I found like when you call yourself actually adult and when you can call yourself adult and say now I grow up is actually the moment when you truly understand that people are different.
Yeah.
So it's like for me this was my moment of totally growing up to understand like hey, everyone is different. So yeah. it's like you don't look subjective, you look objective. That's yeah. how you can have like let's say right judgment about yeah. something. You need to go out of your shoes and then look at the situation globally and scan it so you can see how or try to see how another people feel. So yeah, I find in my opinion this is like you actually grow up truly deeply yeah. when you understand that.
Yeah, that's like yeah. a sign of real emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
okay, so back to porn. What is your favorite part about working in porn?
Wow, there is so many. Like, people will always think who don't know our business that is sex and sex. I love sex. I'm a very sexual person. But my favorite things about this business is not about sex at all. Yeah. It's about traveling, meeting new people every day, what we talk, doing something different. Mm-hmm. Like, I like one day I'm a teenager, another day I'm a MILF. Then I like that one day I have a heavy, bitchy makeup and I'm Domina. Another day I barely have makeup, so I'm like, And I love acting a lot. Like, acting is something what is like my big dream. I love to imitate people. I love to just perform. Mm-hmm. And I always been this way. So all this energy on the shooting just makes me happy. When I one day if I don't go to shoot, I feel like it's my day. It's weird. Mm-hmm. Something is weird here. So yeah, everything. Like I've been traveling everywhere with this business. And
yeah.
we will just like all performers after the scene, before the scene, we have fun. So it's yeah. during the set, around the camera, like yeah. all these moments when it's not just the it's amazing.
yeah. yeah. You were once part of a gigantic orgy.
Yeah.
How many people were in that orgy?
Bukkake, it was just the
Oh, it was a bukkake.
Yeah, it was bukkake. Yeah. Oh my god, I
bukkakes are gnarly.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know what they are, it's like when multiple guys like come on, it can be more than one girl. It can be like
yeah,
it's generally like
I was
one.
Alone, but
you were the only one.
Yeah, 80-something oh people.
80 guys came on your face.
Yeah, and 80 guys come. I swallow as well.
Okay,
it was my dream to try. I was like, I had like I'm very pervert by the way. So
no.
I can't imagine.
You don't say.
I was like, can you all guys have the mask of the animals on your face? And I'm like
Ooh,
lost in a jungle and they
hot,
are like
actually.
Using me. You know?
I like that.
And it's like I just twisted and it was like I was so horny. And even now I'm masturbating on it. So
wait, okay. So it was 80 guys or like 80 cum
something.
Shots?
80-something
guys.
Because
yeah. you know a lot of times like in gangbangs or bukkakes, like
they don't
to get
all.
80 guys
yeah.
is so hard. So like some guys will come back and come more than once.
Happened that as well. It was 80-something guys. I don't remember. Someone could not come and someone come twice. But yeah, it was definitely more than 80 cum shots.
Okay, where was this?
Madrid.
Okay. Where did you shoot this? Like, where did they all, where were they?
Studio. They're all the time shooting the same thing.
So they had like a massive studio for all these people.
Massive studio. These people are shooting for them for years. So they are there like they know already.
So they're like they're Bukkake regulars.
Yeah.
80 Bukkake regulars.
Woohoo!
That is so crazy. Funny because I know most people hear 80 guy Bukkake and they think, oh my God, that's just like, they think about the actual like Bukkake part. I think about the, as a producer, I think about the logistics.
Yeah.
Where did they park? Who did the paperwork? Who shot their IDs?
First thing is like, so funny you think about parking. That's parking. Ridiculous.
Like, where, like, who did the transport? Did they pay for their Uber? Because you can't park 80 people unless you, did they get a valet? Did they have like a big separate lot for them? Like, where do you put all the guys? Did they feed them? Did they provide food? What was the catering cost? That's what I want to know.
I had a beautiful hotel and, everything was, I had a great time, really, but I don't know about them.
Yeah, I just think about that, like the poor who cleaned up afterwards.
I don't
that's
know.
Oh, but
well,
but
I ate it all, so it was not much to clean.
Oh, the PA must have loved you for that.
Yeah, and then I was like, what is supposed to do now? That's a lot of protein. Should I throw up? They said to me, like, how you want? I throw up, and it was fine.
Yeah, because I think Adriana Chechik talked about doing like swallowing many, many loads. And I think it was her. She said she had to throw up afterwards.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot.
It didn't feel so good.
Did you have a practice to throw up easily, so I don't have any issue because I was drinking a lot. That's
you're a
why.
Woman. You're a woman. We all know how to make ourselves throw up.
Yeah. And when I was escaping, since I was escaping from the school, and I was like, how to escape the class? So this was like from my parents' story. Yeah. Then after that, if I drink a little bit more, I will like very. It was very easy for me to feel sick when I drink, you know. So because when I was younger, I was not sticking to one drink. Like I will drink everything different. I'm already sick.
Yeah.
So I've been just let's go to throw up and we continue.
Yeah.
So for me, throwing up is like.
But you did have a stomach ache afterwards.
Yeah, but I didn't have the already like issues. I threw up before issues arrived.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
okay. So you're like, I'm probably going to get a stomach ache from this. Yeah. I'm just going to. God, what did that look like? Sorry, I'm asking a bunch of really weird questions. I'm just so fascinated by this.
Nothing special.
I guess it just looked like 80 guys came in a toilet.
Yeah, kind of. It's a lot of saliva mixed with.
Do you like the taste of cum?
It depends.
Yeah, depends. It does depend. That's the thing. It's like
sometimes I think so. The guys when they use the steroids or something is the most disgusting sperm.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's fun.
how were the guys at the Bukkake? Were they mostly?
It was nice. Because it was fat, healthy people.
Did they put out pineapple juice in the catering? Because that's what I would have done.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's supposed to make your cum taste better. I don't honestly know if it's true.
It's true.
It is. If anyone's an expert on cum, it's this lady right here. And she says that pineapple juice makes your cum taste better.
I was so curious like you. I don't know if it's true. And to my ex-boyfriend, drink it. Let's see. And then it's just true. It's sweet. It's
wow,
sweet.
Wow. That is crazy. So this Bukkake, was it your idea or were you
proposed, yeah.
So you came up with the idea.
Yeah.
How long did it take to shoot that?
A few hours, but all included, the interview, pictures, everything. Like when we started, it was fast, the video part.
Did you get to take breaks?
If I want to, but I didn't.
You just how long did the actual 80 guys coming take?
As I remember, because it was a long time ago, that's why I'm trying to remember how long it took, because like all together it was around 3 hours with a few photos. It was fast, checking the tests, blah blah, and actually all the video, it's less than an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
So these were like, that's good, because these were like the experienced
Yeah, it was less than an hour.
Comes men, because you don't want to be that that last guy in the bukkake who like can't come, right? And the girl's like, she's swallowed 79 loads. She's like, come on, buddy. Like, and he's just like trying to get there.
In Vegas, I've been doing the glory hole. And then I was like, I recognized the dick of one guy. And he could not come and he kept coming. And I was like, touching his dick. I was like, bro, get the fuck out of here. If you cannot come, you cannot come. I see you. I recognize your cock. It's you.
I see that dick.
Like, you are already 4 times here. You still cannot come. Don't fucking put your dick through this hole. Just get the fuck out of here. You just got lost.
Like, he's just trying to put his dick through different holes.
Yeah.
The next one, he puts like sunglasses with a mustache on it.
he's actually so weird curvy, so it's very well recognizable. And it was like, why you keep coming if you cannot come? At least prepare yourself behind. Like, oh my God, viva la fluffers. They was like in Europe, we had the fluffers. Like, now I don't know where the old fluffers go.
Nobody has a budget for fluffers.
Can't be dead. Like, long time ago when I started big movies, we had the fluffers. I'm like, those guys need one. Like, yeah. It's like,
The fluffers are like Viagra and Blue Chew. And if you go to bluechew.com and use Kevin Holly, you can get your first shipment for free. Just pay $5 in shipping. There's your fluffer.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. So, I mean, it's hard for me to believe this considering, like, these amazing onset stories that you've had. But you've said that you have a crazier sex life off screen than on it. So,
yeah. Well, it's, yeah. Where to start and what I can say, what not. Sorry to all my ex-boyfriends. I will try to go enough around so we don't know about who we speak, because my friends will watch this. So if I, whatever I say, they will know about who I speak, but they will know already anyway. So we are with my friends, we are very open to talk about this, but they always make a jokes of my ex-boyfriends. They like my stories. Well, I love to be short. I love fucking guys in the ass. Mm-hmm. This is my fetish.
Oh, you like to fuck guys in the ass?
Yeah.
Oh, so you like to peg guys. Okay.
Yeah. American way. Peg guys. I need my vocabulary is still it's very okay. Simple.
Fucking a guy in the ass is equally acceptable. It means the same thing.
I'm on it. I work on my English here. It's like, yeah. My English is still very broken. I like to dominate guys. I like to try new things. So it's like I've done much crazier things in my private life, definitely. Like, And I had awesome ex-boyfriends. What we do tonight? Okay. It was never a problem. Oh, I don't know. Even they will propose. Like, they trusted me. I trusted them. Mm-hmm. So that's the big thing. And it's like, let's do it. Mm-hmm. So easy. One night dressing up. One night all another things. Another night something new. My sister. Oh, my God. She have a trauma, I think. So, okay. I need to say this story. So, my mom, like, back days, she liked to make a bread sometimes herself. Mm-hmm. So she had this wooden thing. And I stick this in the side of my ex-boyfriend's ass. And
like a French baguette? So like a long, like a baguette, right?
No baguette,
like
a long the piece wood of bread? Thing. What
oh,
make
oh, the
bread.
Rolling pin.
Yeah, rolling pin.
Oh, I thought you stuck a baguette up his ass. No,
I did. Okay. You just gave me the, yeah.
I mean,
discount can
work. It would be a little rough.
Yeah, exactly. It's yeah. I never.
It's so delicious.
I love baguettes.
I love baguettes too. I love baguettes. Okay, rolling pin.
So, yeah. And because sometimes we were searching like what we should stick in the ass, and we just find anything, you know. And this time I was like, fuck, I will need to throw it because my mom will smell it. Definitely we need to throw it, but doesn't matter, we was horny, so I did it. And we was sure we are alone. And then my middle sister, luckily she was not child then. So she entered. I didn't see nothing. We told you to knock. So sometimes she will enter and she will see my ex-boyfriend dressed like a woman, and it's the same, like, we told you to knock. It's like, why you do this? Yeah, since then she don't want to even talk about this. She's like, Yeah. My friends are disgusted by me, though, like, who are not in the business, because I will go that far. For me, it's funny. For them, it's not. Yeah. And they will arrive at my place. What you did with this glass?
Yeah.
What you did with this?
Like, has this been up somebody's ass?
Yeah. And they're like, until I'm, no, I promise, it's safe. I will not give you to drink from that. Maybe.
Dude, this, I'm sorry, but this kind of sounds like a drinking game. Like, you should have people over and then just have things around in your living room that you've stuck up people's asses.
Yeah.
And the game is, like, what went up so-and-so's ass? And then, like, if they get it wrong, they have to take a shot. And then, like, if they get it right, then you take a shot.
Two of my best friends, they will nail it. I'm even afraid they are like, they know.
But see, but this is going to challenge you, because now you're going to want to stick things up a guy's ass that people wouldn't guess that you would put up a guy's ass, like a baguette.
I will record that. Thank you. And you're welcome. I will send you this video.
I would love to.
I will be like, they will nail the game.
I would love to.
Like,
see,
even they don't know exactly, they will guess. I mean, they know. They will be like, uh-huh, this guy has this. Yeah. Yeah. And on the set, it's just like what producers say. It's not like you can go so far. Like, that's
yeah.
Different.
There's definitely rules. Believe it or not, there's rules in porn about what you can stick up people's asses, especially if you're on OnlyFans. Sorry. They, like, don't want you to put anything up any orifice that doesn't look like a penis.
I just remember one story. I was near to choke myself. So once I tied up one of my exes, and I tied up his hands and his balls, and he's expecting some, like, story now. And I start tickling him. He start pulling out. What the fuck? I don't know why I did this. I just remember his story. Yeah.
He must have been pissed.
Oh, he, yeah, of course. I shaved his leg as well the same night when he fell asleep in the butt. I love doing pranks, like, big time. Yeah. Big time. Yeah,
yeah, definitely don't ever pass out drunk around this woman. You don't know what you're going to wake up with in your butt next morning.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. So, you mentioned that you have the secret to fast orgasms for men and women.
Yeah. Okay, I will need to explain.
Yes, please.
So, for men, massaging the prostate, actually, I'm practicing this for 12 years. So, for me, it's taking very little time to make person come. And it's like, the trick is where your bush is finishing, where is the actually beginning of your bush, there is your G-point. Mm-hmm. For the guys, for the girls, is the same. Mm-hmm. For the guys, because, like, so many people think you need to come fast. Let's talk first about anal, because this is something I love. So, <No. laughs> I'm obsessed with this.
Are you? So,
best orgasm ever is, like, you cannot compare for guy, for girl. Whoever say no, they don't know. They didn't try. You need to try. So, it's like, you always go this direction. You need to go in front and to poke, no matter which position you are, so need to go this direction, and for guys and for girls. And
so you're saying, like, rather than, like, in, it's more like an up and, like,
it's here. So, like, if you're you need to just get this
Ernie
point.
Can we have a wide on this?
So it's lower for you, it's here. Like, yeah, where is your bush is starting? Exactly. And even you press this, you feel different if you just press, like, yeah, exactly. But that's the point. That's the spot.
Okay.
There's the spot. So it's like, it's so easy. If you want to come from anal, pussy, whatever, like, you just go, you see where the bush is starting, no matter which position, you just go straight to poke this spot. Mm-hmm. And for the guys, like, girls, whatever, you don't need the big toys. People love big toys, or because it's big, it's just like something what is turning you on. But the G point is so low, you can get it with fingers, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, I made a guy, like, on the set come very fast. So it's gangbang. He's like, I wait. I was like, boop. He come. He said to my ex-boyfriend, who was there shooting with us, you see what she did? You see? It's good, huh? See, it's good. I told you. So it was, yeah, it's you can come so easy like that. And for girls, touching the clit in the same time while you have anal sex or vaginal sex, you can come much faster. Like, and if you don't know how to come first, if you actually, so many women, let's speak about women out, they don't have experience to, I'm so sorry for that, but it's just because you need to learn your body. How I did it, shower. I take shower head and I just masturbated, but I made you know, when you are near to come and mm-hmm. your clit is sensitive and then you move, so yeah. you need to start all over again,
yeah.
and you need to make contraction with your muscles. So go in a squat position, take the thing, just keep the shower, because here you have the American showers is there, like what mm-hmm. I talk about, how you say on English, the cable.
Yeah, it's just like a shower, like a detachable shower head.
Yeah. And you take off the head, but you keep
the cable
or whatever. Yeah, it's the easiest way to learn your spot.
Yeah.
So you go in squat position, you put a shower around, you see. And when you make, like, guys, when they want to come, you see them all contract their mm-hmm. muscle. Is the fastest way to come. So mm-hmm. this way, for the girls, like, they can come the easiest. Or if they have a toy, if they contract their muscles while they are having, like, experiencing their first orgasm, it's much more possible they will get to this moment. So contract your muscles.
Okay. All right. I yeah. love it. That's a lesson to take home, people.
Yeah.
So do you want to start, like, a family someday?
Of course.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a family.
Yeah, you said you're very amazing. Close to yours.
Yeah.
Are you concerned at all about starting a family and, like, how your career might affect that?
No. I think so. If you find the right partner, it's actually the person who loves you no matter what. Mm-hmm. To have kids, no matter is our business or not, if things will happen in kids' life, will happen anyway. So they can have bad friends at school, no matter if I'm in porn or not. Of course, I'm ready. That can be something I need to fix, like to explain kids what is mommy job or what was mommy job or whatever. But I'm totally ready for it because they will be, they're my kids. They will be open-minded as I am, so... Mm-hmm. Should not be a problem. So I believe in that, and I'm just not ready, but I'm very well experienced in take care of kids. Like, I took care of so many kids in my life. Mm-hmm. My sisters in my family, they will, even when it's some celebration, I'm very good with the kids, they will just leave the kid in my hand. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. And I have, like, a bunch of them on the bed, feeding them all together. Mm-hmm. I work in kindergarten. I love kids. Like, I love kids big time. So I'm good with them. I will not have issue, and I cannot wait for this moment. So just that I'm more stable, that's why I want to produce more. So mm-hmm. I'm directing my own time and my, you know, when you manage your own time, no matter you work more, it's easier. So I can say, okay, these hours I'm with my kids. Mm-hmm. As a performer, I travel around, and it's not me who manage it. So, yeah, when I stop performing, definitely I want to direct and mm-hmm. more and have a kids as soon as yeah. possible. 1, 2, 3, 4, as much I can. Really, like, as much. I don't know which age I will have kids, but as much I can have, I will go.
yeah, they're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you're doing a lot of producing. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that. Like, are you directing as well?
Yeah.
And so tell us about who you're directing for, what you're shooting. Is it for your own production?
So I'm directing for Evil Angel, for Private. Now I'm starting for Strapless. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun, though. I'm good with managing people. I have a great team. And one of my best friends is a very good editor. One of my best friends is a very good cameraman. So we are, like, team up.
Yeah, those are, like, two key things.
Yeah, Yeah. So we team up and we are nailing it. We are doing really good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm so proud when I see our pro. And this is my point, because I will die. I don't care how much I work. They are the same, just to make it perfect, like in our eyes, perfect. Mm-hmm. So after when we watch what we've done, we are proud. So that's the most important for me, to do it and to never be embarrassed. What I did to do something for money is not my thing.
Yeah.
I want to see this after and say, money is just an extra.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm proud.
Yeah.
Looks good.
What do you like shooting the most? Like feature movies, gonzo, like solo girl, boy girl? Like what? Do you have a preference?
Well, this is the thing. Like before I was more into gonzo, but now I like everything. Why? Because when you do just one thing, it's boring. Mm-hmm. So I like to change. Mm-hmm. And strapless is different. Like I still need to get experience in a future movie. But other than that, all the rest I have experienced already. Like we shot even samples for different companies. They like it. So my goal is to direct for a few more companies, so to go more this direction, since now I have this good team here. And I just like doing different things. So if, for example, these days I have this production is gonzo, these days like softcore, and like all is different, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm really happy. And it's challenge for us. And what is funny, we are all the same age.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
how old are you?
30.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a good age. It's a good age.
We are all full of energy. We just want to work.
Yeah. 30s were definitely like my working years. Like I worked the hardest in my 30s for sure. And now I still work hard, but I work a little bit less.
When you got a child,
where does she go?
Yeah. No, where, how old, if I can ask?
Oh, yeah.
It was when you had your child.
So I had Violet. I was 40 when I got pregnant with her and 41 when I had her.
That's smart. That's the smartest.
It is smart, though I will say, you know, because I wish I had frozen my eggs. So I had, you know, Violet at naturally.
Yeah.
And I actually was kind of surprised. Not surprised. Like, we were trying, but I also knew I was older. So, like, I wasn't sure because I'd never been pregnant before.
Yeah.
And then I got pregnant with her and I had... And it was a great pregnancy, super easy, no problems, like no, you know, and they always say like, oh, when you're older, like these issues, I had no issues. And so I was like, oh, this is easy, no problem, like you can have kids later. And so we kept trying. And since then I've had 4 miscarriages.
So and that's why you're saying I wish to frozen my eggs.
Because my last one, literally, like I'm ending my 4th one right now.
Oh, fuck.
I had it this week.
Sorry.
It's okay.
But it's.
I wasn't expecting to get pregnant at 45. Like, I didn't think it would happen.
But
so it was
now
a shock.
It's not like it's too late to froze your eggs or what?
Yeah. Because the thing is
until
that.
Until when you can do it?
So, I mean, look, you can do it whenever you want, but just in terms of the health of your eggs. So, when you're like in your 30s, I can't remember the exact timeline because I was looking more towards the end of the 30s.
So, right?
It's like, yeah, it's like till 35, like really good chance between 35 and 40. It's like it goes to like 30% or something like that. After 40, it literally drops off a cliff to like 1%. And then at like 45, it's like 0%.
Yeah.
Because you're born with all the eggs that you're ever going to have in your body.
Yeah.
When you're born. And so the cellular structure degrades over time.
Yeah.
So as time goes on, your eggs get worse and worse. I can get pregnant, but like the eggs aren't good, so they can't keep the pregnancy. Now there's still a chance that like there's a good one in there. People have certainly gotten pregnant at 45, 46, 47 and had a child, and that's happened. It's just very unusual. But you can carry a child up into your late 40s. Like had a friend who got an egg implanted at like 48. Like that's not a problem. It's the quality of your eggs. So if you freeze your eggs now, and I would recommend that you do it.
That's why I'm asking.
then you are good. Like, and I would freeze as many as you can.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like they don't, each one doesn't always take. But then you can start having kids in like your late 40s if you want.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good advice. That's why I'm asking. Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I wish I had done it because we wanted more than one. And it doesn't look like that's going
to
happen.
Because did you ever think about to adopt the kid? Or you just don't look the same way on
we
it?
I don't know. We've talked about it. We've also talked about like getting a donor egg.
Yeah.
Because what sucks about being a woman versus a man is a guy can have kids and like my fucking uncle.
Yeah.
His kid's the same age as my daughter and he's like 75.
Yeah.
You know, like he had a kid at like 72.
Wow.
So guys, wow. The sperm's fine.
Yeah.
So we could use my husband's sperm and somebody else's egg and I could carry it. Or we could adopt.
Yeah.
It's actually harder to adopt.
Really?
Like, the paperwork is gnarly.
Really?
Yeah, and it's also, like, hard to find somebody. It depends on how you want to adopt. Do you want to adopt a kid who's already born? Do you want to adopt a kid who's in utero? Like, there's a lot of...
I was always, like, thinking about that because I'm like, how many kids of this world need love?
Totally.
And I would love to have mine, but I would love definitely to adopt some. So it's like...
It's hard because it's like, yeah, it's like
you will trade them the same, and they are better with you than they're with nothing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, so many kids are not adopted. Always in my head was like, I would love to have mine and to adopt as well.
Yeah, but I also, I'm not gonna lie, I think that my profession might be an issue for adoption. Because they look really hard at you and your background.
Oh, irritating me big time. It's crazy. Like, how we are discriminated for no fucking reason.
But however, to get a donor egg is not that hard. Because it's not like a person yet. So like you're not going to go through the same screening process to get somebody else's egg.
That's ridiculous,
isn't
right?
Isn't that crazy?
That's ridiculous. Like it's supposed to be opposite, no?
Yeah. So to make a child, you won't get screened that hard. But to adopt a child that... already exists there. And needs a home is harder.
Guys, make things easier for those kids. Those kids want to be adopted. What this whole paperwork makes actually so many people for sure to give up.
It's like it is, and it's also like on one hand, I also understand why they would be strict about it because you want to make sure that you're sending kids to a good home. However, to discriminate against somebody because of the work that they do, and I both know that like
that's
we're
bullshit.
Not criminals, we're not predators, we're good people that just have an unusual job. Like that's unfair.
Yeah.
So
I look our business as every other entertainment business.
Yeah.
So like positive things about this business, it is all what we talk about, experiences, meeting different people, doing different stuff, everything. But the all about it, the negative part, it is that you need to find yourself direction and to stick to that because when you don't have job, which one is regular, what is positive thing in regular jobs because you're safely going one direction in entertainment business, any singer, actor who have money a lot coming everywhere, we can do whatever we want, get lost. Mm-hmm. It's very common for entertainment business that the performers get lost or is it drugs or is it whatever, you know, or that they don't save money or something. So we carry as well one part, I will say you need to be very clever and strong if you want to succeed in this business, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just, it's so beautiful. It is beautiful. I love this business, but you come through like a lot of sacrifices of your time, of spending time with your family. You need to make more. And in all this, you need to be very clever to don't slide. Mm-hmm. Because one slide like, oh, one boyfriend or whatever, or wrong whatever, is like, oh, 2-3 years off my life. Then you go back and you rebuild all this again. So it's like, we carry a lot as well. And all entertainment business, it's the same like about these things, what I talk about. So our business is entertainment business is no much different than singer or actor or we are the same.
So
that's why I don't understand why people are looking at different. We live totally same lifestyle. We have same lifestyle, like lots of freedom, but in this freedom you need to be extra clever.
No kidding. Okay, so before we wrap this up, I do have a Patreon question from Michael Lee. So if you're a member of my Patreon, you can submit questions for my guests and I will ask them for you.
Yeah.
So Michael says, hi, Holly and Cherry. I met Cherry in person at AVN in January. She was very nice. My first question is, how was it winning XBiz Euro Female Performer of the Year in 2021? And then he has more questions, but we'll go one by one.
How it was?
Yeah, how was it?
Oh, I was not hoping at all because I've been nominated for so many years in multiple categories. And then I had an award from different things, but not Performer of the Year. So this time I was totally like, I don't care. I was hurt a little bit. I'm like, But this year, like, happened. I was surprised. I was so happy. And as I say, this gave me a big boost for America. Like, yeah, big time.
Yeah. Okay, his second question is Gia Lissa and Tiffany Tatum your favorite girls to work with in Europe?
My favorite girls to work in Europe is Alexis Crystal, Amira Dara, and that's it. I have many of them, but the two my favorite is Amira Dara and Alexis Crystal, definitely.
Okay. Have you worked with Gia Lissa?
Yeah.
And Tiffany Tatum, have you worked with them a lot?
Yeah.
Okay, that's probably why he asked
that question. With Tiffany Tatum a lot, with Gia Lissa not that much because she came later in my career. Mm-hmm. And both of them are great, though. Mm-hmm. Both of them are great. I just like have my favorites because Amira and Alexis Crystal, they are, for me, the most professional girls, and they are so fun. Like, mm-hmm. Job is not job with them. It's like, yeah. I love this kind of people, you know. It's like your day is just like you go home like this in the car.
Yeah.
So these two girls are very professional. It's they are not my friends, mm-hmm. but I can say the best things about them, definitely. So yeah, with Tiffany I have a lot of scenes, with Gia not that much.
Okay. And then his final question is, how is it working with Vixen female director Julia Grandi, and what's it like being part of her agency?
They are cool. It's so easy going. I got used to that the shootings can be long, but when you see outcome, you are like, wow.
Yeah.
So I want to be part of this more and more because you look great on their pictures. So I've been using their pictures for my social media, for agencies, for everything. So every single time I shoot for Vixen, I have so many scenes for Vixen this year here. I wait these scenes to come out because I will be just with pictures, good photos. Yes.
I know, right?
And yeah, like it's easy going for me because I love being on the set. So and Julia is great, so she knows what she wants. Mm-hmm. I love this kind of people.
Yeah,
do this, do that, tap, done. So yeah, the shootings for big productions can be long. This is only one negative side, but yeah, as I say, you need to love to what you are doing so you are fine with that and make have a fun. Like in Europe, I miss those people so much. Like Christoph Kehle or like Vince, when he was there after cam shot, and they will just be putting sperm on each other and running around. And oh my God, like we have so much fun. And we have this sarcasm, what I don't use it here. Here, people are nicer. Mm-hmm. So I'm very careful because I have dark sarcasm. Mm-hmm. And in Europe, it's funny. Here, I'm like, not yet. People need to know me. They will all because
you have to read the room.
Yeah. And my accent as well. Like when I talk and I'm not smiling, like I say something on my hard accent, and everyone is like, I'm joking. And then I need to smile and then because I look angry, you know? Like John Stagliano, he asked me on a dinner once, like he said, why are you angry? I'm like, John, this is the way I'm talking. I'm not angry. This is just Serbian way of talking. Ah, okay. Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that you are taking me like you're supposed to, because really so many people, they don't understand my jokes. They think I'm angry. I'm like, no, it's just the accent.
Yeah, no. I'm used to dark sarcasm for sure. Yeah. My parents were British, so.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. So
a lot of,
That's nice.
A lot of sarcasm.
That's nice.
Well, Cherry, thank you so much. This has actually been really enjoyable. And this has been one of my longest episodes in a long time. We went almost an hour and a half.
Woo!
Yeah, we're like just shy of an hour and a half. And that we like could have kept going.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have talked about the Bukkake story for like another 20 minutes. I'm just like, I don't know why. I just like, I'm fascinated by Bukkakis. Oh. It's like a thing.
You would like the video though.
I will have to go look it up for sure. I've seen like, I've definitely seen big Bukkake scenes, and it was in Europe. So I'm wondering if it was the same, because you said it was like the same company.
Yeah.
So it was probably that, but I don't remember.
Rebecca Volpetti, she did more. Okay. So that's how she came.
Oh, she did like, more guys.
Yeah.
More
and guys then I was like,
fuck you, Rebecca.
And I was like, okay, I will go for more. No, I will. It was fun about it. Like, who will get more?
Yeah. It's not a competition everybody wants to be in. But, you know, that's why we are special people over here.
Very special.
Well, thank you again. Can you tell everybody where they can find you online, please?
Thanks to you again. I'm so happy to be part of this finally. So my Twitter is Ivana Cherrykiss. My Instagram since is sixth one is a Cherry Official Kiss. And Cherrykiss OFC is my TikTok.
Fantastic.
YouTube channel I will start very soon. And yeah, I took social media, all everything so serious when I arrived here, and I'm growing so fast. I'm super happy because in Europe it was not our thing. Mm-hmm. But here people are more clever in the business somehow.
yeah
We are like mañana, tomorrow, it's okay.
I think people really see it as a career, and they treat it like a business, which it is. Really.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
And you guys can find me online at Holly Randall on Instagram and on Twitter. I believe when this episode comes out, my mom's Kickstarter will still be going for her 1977 memoir that we've republished, all about her years at the Playboy Mansion. It was, in fact, the book that got her kicked out of the Playboy Mansion. So it's a very, very juicy read. And we're also releasing a limited edition photography book. My mom is Suze Randall, by the way, just in case you didn't know. Some people don't know that. So go on Kickstarter, Google Suze Randall. The campaign should show up. Otherwise, I have it linked in all my social media platforms. And I'm just really proud of her. And we're offering some really, really cool stuff. Otherwise, join my Patreon, patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered, where you can watch episodes like this one live. And, you know, while Cherry goes to the bathroom, I can sit here and lecture you about celery, which is what I what I did on this version, which you will only get if you're a member of Patreon. Yeah. Which fascinating
with
content.
Celery, you have more sperm, just so you know. For
more sperm for celery? Yeah.
If you eat a lot of celery.
You have more sperm? Does the cum taste like celery?
Probably like shit, but it's like for visually for cum shot is good.
Okay, so maybe like a celery pineapple juice is like the porn star magic juice.
Juice is
maybe you celery, should though. Maybe you should come up with like a pineapple celery juice, and it's like special cum shot juice.
I can try. I need to find some slave who wanna sleep with me tonight, so I will be feeding, eat this, drink this.
Somehow I feel like you won't have that problem.
No.
Thank you guys so much for joining us, and I will see you. Yes, we are on next week.
Ciao.
Thank you so much for listening. Your support means the world to me. A great way to show your love is to rate and review my show, and an easy way to do that is to go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU, and you'll be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports, and then led to where you can leave your review. And if you can afford to financially support this podcast, you can do so for as little as $5 a month at patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. This is where you'll get access to the live streams of my interviews, bonus Q&As with my guests, access to my fine art photography and behind the scenes of my shoots, free memberships to my Not Safe for Work website, hollyrandall.com, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, and so much more. You can watch the video versions of these podcasts at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/hollyrandallunfiltered.
Join us every Sunday evening for episode premieres where you can chat live with myself and other HRU fans as we watch the newest release together. You can also follow the show on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. All of my social media links are at hollylinks.com.